Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. First Lady Melania Trump is stopping in Alaska today to visit with members of the military at Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson in Anchorage. Alaska Public Media reports that a J-Bear spokesperson says the First Lady is visiting during the month of the military family celebration held on base. The First Lady is returning from a diplomatic trip to Asia with the president. She's expected to be on the ground in Anchorage for several hours. Alaska is a frequent refueling stop for U.S. officials traveling between Washington, D.C. and Asia. U.S. senators opposed to oil drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge are having trouble getting the word out. Alaska Public Media reports that Senator Maria Cantwell of Washington yesterday held a press conference lamenting that the refuge drilling proposal isn't drawing public outrage like it did more than a decade ago.
Listen, I know it's a busy news cycle we live in, but last time this issue captured the public's attention, and it's been out of the public's attention for a long time.
Cantwell told reporters at the Capitol press conference that she hoped they'd let people know Arctic refuge drilling could be tucked into a tax cut plan, a proposal that is grabbing bigger headlines.
We really sincerely hope that there is a way that we can illuminate for the American people that this choice is being made.
Cantwell's appeal for attention is a far cry from 2005 when anti-drilling voters jammed congressional phone lines. Senator Lisa Murkowski plans to chair a debate in the Energy Committee on the drilling proposal next Wednesday. A North Pole man convicted of a second child pornography offense could face as much as 30 years in prison. A release from the U.S. Attorney's Office says 54-year-old Tommy Hansen was convicted in federal court in Fairbanks Wednesday of receipt of child pornography. It says probation officers searched an unauthorized computer at Hansen's home in October 2016 and found thousands of images of child pornography. The images were downloaded since 2012 when Hansen was released from prison for a previous child porn possession conviction. The second conviction means Hansen could be ordered to serve anywhere from 15 to 30 years more in prison, as well as pay $250,000 fine. Sentencing is scheduled for January 19th. Hansen's case was investigated by the U.S. Probation Office and FBI as part of Project Safe Childhood, a nationwide initiative launched 11 years ago to combat child exploitation and abuse. Some North Pole residents told the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly last night they do not want a marijuana-growing business in their neighborhood. Their argument swayed some members of the Assembly, but it wasn't enough to pass a measure opposing state approval of a business license for the facility. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
Residents of the Ben Shaw subdivision turned out in force again Thursday to protest a proposed marijuana growing facility that they say should not be allowed in their mainly residential area. During the public hearing on a business license request for the facility near the corner of Badger Road and Benshoff Drive, Lois Maxwell says she opposes it because it'll harm children.
We try to teach the children that use of mind-altering substances is not a good idea. But when it's right in your neighborhood, it's something that becomes the norm, and we don't want it to be the norm.
Maxwell says her home, like many others, is only about 500 feet from where AK Green Bee Incorporated wants to grow pot commercially. She says it's not the right place for such a facility. Cyrus Freeman, another area resident, agrees, and he says he's located a much better place in Salcha.
That property is on a much larger wooded lot with convenient access to the Richardson Highway.
Krista Dyer says she and others in the neighborhood have launched an effort to rezone the area to keep businesses that produce or dispense alcohol or marijuana from setting up shop there.
We started that process back in July. It's just a really slow process. Looks like about 6 months.
And 11-year-old Kyra Rodriguez says the facility just kind of creeps her out.
I don't like it. And when I walk home, it just makes me feel uncomfortable.
AK Green Bee owner Monique Daigle says she understands her neighbor's concerns and has made several changes in the layout and design of her 2,400-square-foot growing facility to accommodate them.
As far as children in the neighborhood, I'm a parent. I'm a grandparent.
Daigle says she's met all borough and state requirements for the license. She says she supports residents' drive to rezone the neighborhood just east of her property, even though that'll require additional floor plan adjustments. She says her facility will be well secured and won't generate much traffic, only a few vehicles a day for employees and one or two deliveries. And she says she'll open a new entryway away from the neighborhood in the spring.
We are responsible members of our community who feel that as a business owner, we owe the members of our community to operate with integrity.
After the hearing, Assemblyman Lance Roberts urged fellow members to disregard the borough administration's recommendation to support the business license and instead vote for a resolution he sponsored that would urge the State Marijuana Control Board to deny it. He recounted reasons he usually cites whenever the Assembly considers a marijuana business license request, that pot is still illegal under federal law and is bad for your health. And he said this time there's another important consideration.
What really matters for this case specifically is how it is adjacent to a residential neighborhood. There's so many places it could have been put in our community, but instead it was put right next to a residential neighborhood.
That argument resonated with three other Assembly members, Matt Cooper and newly elected Angela Major and Aaron Lajeski. The four voted in favor of Roberts' amended resolution opposing the business license, but that measure failed on a 4-4 tie vote. Assemblyman Sean Tackey recused himself because he's active in the cannabis industry. After Roberts' measure failed, the Assembly voted 7-1 to recommend the Marijuana Control Board grant the license, pending AK Green Bee obtaining a borough conditional use permit. The Assembly then approved resolutions supporting licenses for two other marijuana businesses, with Roberts the lone dissenting vote on both. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
The Alaska Board of Game is considering 70 proposals for regulatory changes. Alaska Public Media reports that the proposals before the panel meeting in Anchorage range from a requirement that all Alaska hunters take a safety course to regulation of hunts for ceremonial potlatches. There are also proposals unrelated to hunting, including on the trapping, neutering, and release of feral cats, and residents' right to own a small hedgehog-like creature called a tenrec, currently banned in Alaska. The 7 board members will take public comment as well as testimony from state and federal agencies before voting on measures. The Anchorage Game Board meeting continues through next week. The deadline to sign up for public testimony is 10:30 tomorrow morning. A stolen set of master keys has forced the University of Alaska Fairbanks to rekey numerous buildings across campus. UAF Associate Vice Chancellor for Facility Services Scott Bell says he's not releasing specific information to minimize additional security risk, noting that the key theft remains under investigation. Bell does say that 40 affected buildings have been identified.
And our first thing to do was to go change the locks on the exterior doors of all those buildings. We're probably looking, about 80% through rekeying all the exteriors, and we'll have that wrapped up by Thanksgiving at the latest.
Bell says the affected structures include the Harwood Hall apartment building, but says it was the first to be rekeyed. No other campus dorms, apartments, or homes were affected. He says the rekeying of buildings is a big project involving 150 exterior doors, including the cutting and issuance of 750 new keys to employees.
Changing out keys for those employees and staff affected will probably run us about $30,000.
Bell says the rekeying of affected interior doors is being rolled into an ongoing $300,000 project to rekey older inside door locks at buildings across campus.
Most keys have key systems have a life of 15 to 20 years. And for some of the systems we have on campus, we are at that point now. So we're going through and doing a kind of a planned update to the systems, modernizing them.
Bell notes that an increasing number of UAF departments are going to keypad combination locks on doors, which if compromised can easily be reprogrammed. I'm Dan Bross.